Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're all come mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Man, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Away, 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 away
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the broad. Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I tried hard to be proud of my service, but all I could feel was shame. And racism could no longer mask the reality of the occupation. These were people. These were human beings. I've since been plagued by guilt anytime I see an elderly man, like the one who couldn't walk, who we rolled onto a stretcher and told the Iraqi police to take him away. I feel guilt anytime I see a mother with her children, like the one who cried hysterically and screamed that we are worse than Saddam as we forced her from her home. I feel guilt anytime I see a young girl, like the one I grabbed by the arm and dragged into the street. We were told we were fighting terrorists. The real terrorist was me, and the real terrorism is this occupation. Racism within the military has long been an important tool to justify the destruction and occupation of another country. It has long been used to justify the killing, subjugation, and torture of another people. Racism is a vital weapon employed by this government. It is more important weapon than a rifle, a tank, a bomber, or a battleship. It is more destructive than an artillery shell, or a bunker buster, or a Tomahawk missile. While those weapons are created and owned by this government, they are harmless without people willing to use them. Those who send us to war do not have to pull a trigger or lob a mortar round. They do not have to fight the war, they merely have to sell the war. They need a public who is willing to send their soldiers into harm's way. They need soldiers who are willing to kill and be killed without question. They can spend millions on a single bomb, but that bomb only becomes a weapon when the ranks of the military are willing to follow orders to use it. They can send every last soldier anywhere on earth, but there will only be a war if soldiers are willing to fight. And the ruling class, the billionaires who profit from human suffering, care only about expanding their wealth, controlling the world economy. Understand that their power lies only in their ability to convince us that war, oppression, and exploitation is in our interest. They understand that their wealth is dependent on their ability to convince the working class to die to control the market of another country. And convincing us to kill and die is based on their ability to make us think that we are somehow superior. Soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen have nothing to gain from this occupation. The vast majority of people living in the U.S. have nothing to gain from this occupation. In fact, not only do we have nothing to gain, but we suffer more because of it. We lose limbs, endure trauma, and give our lives. Our families have to watch flag-draped coffins lowered into the earth. Millions in this country without health care, jobs, or access to education must watch this government squander over $450 million a day on this occupation. Poor and working people in this country are sent to kill poor and working people in another country to make the rich richer. And without racism, soldiers would realize that they have more in common with the Iraqi people than they do with the billionaires who send us to war. I threw families onto the street in Iraq. only to come home and find families thrown onto the street in this country, in this tragic, and unnecessary foreclosure crisis. We need to wake up and realize that our real enemies are not in some distant land. They're not people whose names we don't know and cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and people we can identify. The enemy is a system that wages war when it's profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it's profitable. It's the insurance companies who deny us health care when it's profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it's profitable. Our enemy is not 5,000 miles away. They are right here at home. If we organize and fight with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war, we can stop this government, and we can create a better world.
Fight for Ireland. The fight for life. The fight for our right to an ordinary, decent life. So Ireland is paying out billions again. Or should I say the government, which does not at this time represent this country in any way, shape or form. We today remain leaderless. We remain cast adrift in a European sea of greed and corruption. These people talk about percentages and Eurozone and bailouts and conditions and balancing the banks. They don't talk about people and hospitals and lives and emigration and employment and survival. If a government is not for the people, then it is merely a vassal for vested, dark, despicable interests. And thus is the world until we as the Irish people defy this gross inequality we are being made to endure. Until we rise from every chair and every living room in this country, there is no difference today in colour or religion or creed or class or wage. Whether you're a plumber or an actor or jobless or from Dalkey or Mayo or Cork, we need to align with the entire country. We need to stand up to greed and despicable inequality. Somewhere in Ireland, someone is contemplating suicide. Somewhere in Ireland, there is a hungry baby without his food and a mother weeping. Somewhere is a man being told he has no work. Somewhere in a traffic jam, a man is having a heart attack and no hospital to be brought to save his life. Somewhere in Ireland, a man is counting money and smiling. Somewhere in some distant European country, men with no souls make decisions by the pen that ruin another generation here. And somewhere, a cowardly TD in Dublin carries his filthy deeds like a weight, but ignores the destruction in his own heart. Are we truly brave? I do not believe in the heart that people here are cowards. I do believe we are looking for hope, a way to see a better life. As it stands now, we have no future. All that remains is for us to become one, for our ideas and differences to merge. Underneath the shame, the sadness and the fear, I think our countrymen and women have a power and a poetic strength. I think that we are noble, and we must claim this nobility. We must crush the fear in our waking souls. We have not come this far, through this much, in so many terrible centuries, to be vanquished by men of the pen and the shirt and the tie and the greasy crunches of numbers. They will eat themselves, those who choose to keep us in a corner, taking all that is rightfully ours. We only have to acknowledge each other. We are brothers and sisters. We must rise above our bickering and look above. Look at the people who are truly destroying our lives. But also take a look in the mirror. Many of us feel, what can one man or one woman do? I have bills, I have responsibilities, I have children. Yes, you do. But you also have the same responsibilities to the people who have not yet been born here. To the older generation who sit in the cold with no heat. To the young boy or girl standing on the shore, about to leave with a suitcase and a broken heart. We are the many, we are the few, and we are the one. I am proud to be Irish, but we must act on that pride. We must rise up peacefully, but with the force of our poetic hearts. We might be broke as a nation, but we are not broke in our souls and as a people. We are an idea that is celebrated around the world. And we are beloved, Yet we need to show that love to the person next to us. We need to release our self-pity and turn it into compassion. We need to help each other. With each act of love, kindness and power, we as individuals will bind the vines of the millions of Irish together and form an indestructible rope of people power. Let us here and now, in this time, be the example to the world. Let us show each other on the globe that the Irish have a will, that the spirit that lies deep inside the soil of this earth is ready to be ignited, and a fire that is our hope will light across this country. We did not come through famine and oppression and loss and death for nothing. I think now of those who have so little. I think now of the ghosts of our past, the nameless graves that await our rising, the ones who never had a chance to become what they should have. I, for one, will not give up my dreams of an ordinary, beautiful life because of the endless greed of others. I hope we can join together. I hope we can turn this winter of fear into a dawn of a new life. I hope we can light a flame that will never be extinguished again. And I hope we can make the future generations proud of us. We are beautiful. We are an amazing people. And the time for fear is now over. We are the many, we are the few, and we are the one. Peace to you all.
From every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here.
your friends to help him now. It's fairly well, my whole new lover. I never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
So Shaziz here. I played a few extra tunes this morning trying to figure out what it is that I wanted to say. The whole purpose of the Knights of the Round Table and why I got involved in all this kind of stuff to begin with, you know, it's just goes back a long ways. You know, you often hear me say that sometimes it's hard when I get up in the morning, I check the news and I check my YouTube subscriptions and the headlines and all that kind of stuff, and I just look at that and I'm like, man, this world is so entirely messed up, it's just not funny. And so way back when the Knights of the Round Table first came about, back when we were on TNS Radio with Ben and the crew over there, you know, and we all had the dream to try to put together something that would start changing the world a little bit at a time. And I think for the most part we've done that. We've got the world moving in a different direction, at least our portion of the world, our circle of people that we all connect with. And so I don't think it was all for nothing. It's just as time goes by and you get kind of battle weary over all the different things that continue to happen, the headlines, they'll calm down for a while and then they'll get bigger and then they'll calm down, and it's kind of like a constant roller coaster of things to look at. And then you have technical difficulties, such as yesterday my Mad Science show was cut about an hour short because of technical difficulties. My icons on my desktop wouldn't pop up, and ended up finding out how to fix that. So if you ever have that problem, give me a holler if you're still using Windows XP. I do have a Linux computer on the other side there, so I'm not totally out of the loop on that portion. But yeah, I still got a junky old XP. I got a bunch of them, matter of fact. Anyway, figured out what that problem was. Got that show up and was able to get the Hope show going. And then today, or after I got that all situated, after the shows were over and I uploaded the podcast, I started cleaning out the PC and getting rid of spyware and all that kind of stuff, malware, whatever was cluttering up my computer, and tried to clean it up and make a restore point to back it up and all that kind of stuff. And in the process, I accidentally shut down two processes that I needed to run SAM Broadcaster. Well, lucky for me, I didn't delete the Firebird server. I came close to, because I was uninstalling things that I didn't that I knew for sure weren't supposed to be on there, and then I was uninstalling a few things that I didn't use to try to speed up my computer. Even spend an extra $40 buying a program, or shall I say, resubscribing or repaying for another program to speed everything up, and I got it running pretty good, and then went to fire SAM up, and there it went. You know, wouldn't connect. But you can hear me now, so that means that I got it fixed, which is a good thing. Anyway, through all the trials and tribulations and technical difficulties and craziness, I sometimes have to ask myself whether or not I'm even making a difference in the world, you know. And I get to feel a little bit down here and then when I see stuff, and you know, especially on my YouTube subscriptions. I had like 800 and some odd YouTube subscriptions of different things, and managed to get that all the way down to 362 of the ones that are most important. And so every time I open that thing up and I start seeing all the headlines, or I turn on the news and I read and listen to what's going on in the news, and I listen to everybody out there, and I can feel their anger and their stress and their worry, I absorb all that like a sponge. Yeah, I'm just human. I'm 49 years old, and I'm sitting in here and I'm talking out to the world. I'm shouting down the beast out there, and I'm just saying, hey, you know, can't we all just get along? Is there some way we can fix all this stuff, you know, and bringing good ideas to the table? And I really seriously, folks, I really seriously try not to offend people with my beliefs and ideas. You know, I don't like making enemies, and I don't like insulting or upsetting anybody. I try to be good as I can to folks, and I do my mad science show, and I try to put out some good ideas, hopefully that they'll benefit somebody out there and get everybody motivated and bring them to the table to talk about problems around the world. I try to do what I can, and I know there's a whole lot more people out there trying to do the same thing, because they still believe that it's possible that we can actually change this world and make it a better place. You know, what other option do we got but try? You know, even if you're a non-believer out there or a believer, you know, in my book it says no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. And so, you know, that tells me that it ain't over yet, but you ain't going to know when it is over. So why sit around and wait for worrying whether or not it's going to be over? And why not try to do the best you can with the bad situation and make things right? I may be crazy, but I honestly believe that we can make a difference in this world. I honestly believe that our Creator gave us some amazing talents and skills and gifts and resources to make this world a better place. And if that weren't the case, and I didn't really believe in what it was that I was saying, I wouldn't waste my time getting up in the morning. I stayed up really late last night, and that's probably one of the reasons why I feel down today, because I'm tired, I'm discouraged, and just trying to get things together. And I go through the time to put videos together and have to deal with that whole situation out there on YouTube. And for, I guess for the most part, it's self-inflicted. I guess I just shouldn't even mess with anything in this doggone internet. I should just walk away from it and leave it alone. That would be the easiest deal, because I believe the internet itself is the beast. I mean, it's just, there's so much. The internet and all the information therein is just the deepest, darkest rabbit hole, and it will literally drain the life out of you if you let it. And on the other hand, it's an amazing tool. It's an amazing resource as far as alternative energy, alternative medicine, and being able to talk to people out there in this world. You know, I met a lot of people that would not have met had it not been for the internet. And so, you know, with that said, there are some goods there. And like I say, I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to type here and do this. Okay, I'm trying to do the best that I can with what I got to work with. Trying not to bend, folks, like I said. You know, I have to ask myself, what's the point in all of it? If it's just a never-ending circle, a never-ending battle, you know, Planet X, that whole gizmo deal, it's all back in the doggone deal again. You got preachers out there talking about Planet X now. If it's all if it's all doomed to fail, then what's the point? You know, I've had people, I've had Christians, people that are supposedly from my own faith, ready to lay down and give up and just say heck with it, you know? Or you try to tell them, you know, about us bringing each other together and making this world a better place, and it's like, oh no, you know, that's it, that's, you know, it's all going to come down to doomsday and everybody's going to die and burn in hell. I don't want anybody dying and burning in hell. And from what I've witnessed in my life, hell isn't nothing like what they talk about in TV or in these chat rooms. Hell is a total separation, a total aloneness. It's a worst case. You just can't imagine. It has nothing to do with all the flames and the drama and all that kind of stuff. It's just a total separation from your creator. And imagine yourself standing in a dark room, and you know you're there, and there isn't nobody else around you, nobody else to help share your pain with, nobody else to cry on anybody's shoulder or even suffer together with. It's just you and your own thoughts, your own mind, in the darkness by yourself, total separation. Humans are social beings, and we need each other. Even when we hate each other, we need each other. And so, to be completely separated from the Creator or one another is the worst case scenario. That's the worst type of hell. I mean, if you're burning in a lake of fire with millions of other people, then you got people to suffer with. You're not doing it by yourself. But if you're not around anyone or anything, and you have the total aloneness, the total separation, total silence, that's the real hell. So I guess in some weird way, it's good that we all come out here and suffer together, research together, try to brainstorm ideas together, try to make our world a better place. But when I hear people of my own faith talking about, oh, there's nothing mankind can do, it's all in God's hands and this and that, I'm sickened. I'm sickened to my core, because if that's that, then why do we even struggle? Why do we even make the attempt to move forward? You know, if it's all going to just fall apart, why not just kick back in your lawn chair with some cold brews and just you know, wait until the world collapses around you? It don't make no sense to me. And so I feel like that as long as there's hope, as long as there is any possibility that I can make this world a better place, I'm going to give it a shot. And even though the odds are against me, and even though people of my own faith are willing to lay down and just give up, I look back to the actual creation of this world. I look back to the words in Genesis and the relationship between man and God. And I look at this world itself, and I see such amazing potential, such amazing beauty, an overabundant amount of resources. And I've noticed, if you look all the way back through history and you look, the farther that man has gotten away from morality or God or goodness or whatever you want to call it, the farther we have gotten away from the source, our roots, the more deteriorated and the more sickened everything is around you. The people are sick. The environment's sick. The planet's sick. And then people look around and they're like, oh my God, look at this mess. We gotta clean this up. Just the mere fact that we have access to this world and we're not dead yet, and I can see the resources and I can see the wonders of the world, it tells me that if we all come together and we start cleaning up our own neighborhoods and we start cleaning up this world and we start doing right by one another and being good caretakers of the land and the animals and the air and the water and the earth itself, that we can make this world a better place. Well, our backs are against the wall whenever we got governments out there running amok or gangs in the street fighting one another. You know, in the Middle East over there, they're already calling it World War III. The Pope over there at the Vatican already called it World War III. Every few other people's already called it World War III. It's country against country, nation against nation, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, everything that was spoken of in the book of Revelations, in my book, the book from my faith, the Bible. And I can't necessarily talk about my faith too doggone much these days in this world, because it's like taboo. If you talk too much about your faith, then, you know, people just don't like it. All faiths in all nations have been turned and twisted away from their original idea. I'm not a Buddhist, but I can look into the Buddhist way of life and I can understand that there are good points there. And according to the peaceful Muslims, it's all about love. Christianity, it's all about love. And there's a lot of loving atheists as well. You know, so one thing that I can see that spans all of these different separations is love. Everyone has the potential in their heart. And if we could just focus that, if we could just focus that to reach out to help those kids that you see on the doggone TV with tears in their eyes in some slum somewhere in the world. You know? One of us picks up a can of paint and we go over and paint that shack and make it look good at least. At the very least, make it look good. While somebody else picks up a pail of water and goes over there and cleans something else or brings some drinking water over or some food, and we just start uplifting these individuals. We address their needs and we show them compassion and a true human heart. I believe all these things are possible, and I know that there are people out there trying to do it, but it just doesn't seem enough. It just doesn't seem like we can get enough people to come up out of the matrix, to come up out of the bubble, to live the real life, such as looking around you, knowing your neighbor, going out there and helping out your neighbor. I seen a video on YouTube just yesterday where there was a homeless man that froze to death on the steps of a building, music store. And the story was that people just walked around him. They stepped over him. Nobody showed the man any concern that he died right there on the steps. He froze to death overnight. And that's just one of many tales that are out there. And I know that each and every one of you has witnessed or heard something that's just as terrible. If I could stand before the nations of the world, if I could stand before all governments and all people, and I could talk and have them hear, would it change it? Would it make the world a better place? Just by the words coming out of my mouth? Maybe they would be caught up in the moment. Maybe everything would be just fine there for the moment. Everybody would be rallied to the cause. Let's save the world. Let's save the planet. Let's save each other. It seems like humanity loses its focus too easy. It seems like your average Joe is just too wrapped up with trying to build the perfect stairway to heaven. Keeping up with the Joneses and build you the fancy house and have a really nice car and all that kind of stuff. When in all reality, the thing that matters the most is the thing they neglect the most. Just one guy. I don't want to be king of the world. I just want to live in a peaceful world. I just want to live in a world that every time I open a newspaper, it's not full of lies. Every time I turn on the radio, there's not some depressing story. Every time I turn on the news, I'm not watching tragedy. You know, here at ShazizRadio.com, it's that one little corner of the world, that one little piece of the world to where we can actually come together and we can talk about things that need to be addressed, but we don't have to. We can wander around this little chunk of cyberspace in peace, knowing that there's others out there that feel just like we do, that have the same hopes, dreams, and aspirations from all different nations. It's a big deal to me to be able to talk to somebody in Ireland or Scotland, Canada, Russia, Germany. That to me is amazing. The fact that we can reach out and talk to one another, make connections, and maybe even go visit each other. That to me is amazing. You know, I make a lot of people mad with some of the things I talk about, especially in the alternative energy world. I watched a video yesterday. Somebody's out there, oh, there ain't no such thing as free energy, and whoever thinks that energy's free is an idiot, and so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. But when's the last time he got a bill from the sun or the wind or the earth or the water? You know, people, they don't give credit to nature. They don't give nothing. It's only take. You can work in harmony with nature, and you cannot destroy it. You could get all the work done you wanted and have all the resource and food and everything you wanted. One thing about nature and the way that this system was designed is that if you take care of it, it'll take care of you. Just like I believe that if you take care of your brothers and sisters around the world, that they'll take care of you. I believe that was the genius, the grand design of the creator of this world. And that book that we call the Holy Bible, it could either be a book of death or it could be a book of life. I personally choose life. I wish that I'd reached this level of wisdom back whenever I was a youngin', back whenever I was a teenager, or maybe even a kid. I wished I'd have reached this level of wisdom way back when. My life would be so much different. Went down a lot of hard roads to get where I'm at. And maybe even in some parts of my life, I was so selfish, self-centered, that I thought about myself more than I thought about anybody else around me, and I created a mess for me and those I came in contact with. So put the Knights of the Round Table together in hopes that people just like me would come to the table and talk. You know, the first step to getting anything done is communication. And then, if our words can motivate somebody to go out there and enact the solutions that we all come up with together, you know, it's not always the guy with the good idea that has the resources or capability to get where it's needed. But if you take that good idea, that positive pebble thrown in that pond, and you expand on it, that's when great things become able to be accomplished. So yeah, sometimes I feel like giving up. Sometimes I question my own beliefs. And I have been so deep down in the darkest depths of the abyss of the whole rabbit hole. I've seen and heard every conspiracy theory under the sun. I've looked dead into the eyes of pure evil. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And so I just run out there into the world and try to shout it from every mountain and try to get everybody on the same page, trying to say, look, you know, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, we got to get this world together. You know, it's all terrible. We got to save the planet. We got to save each other. We got to save our children. It's an overwhelming task of epic proportions. I could go outside if I had the materials, and I could hammer nails and wood and saw, and I could build a house. Next to that house, I could build a barn. I could spend my entire life doing that. I could go out there and hammer the nails and saw the wood, measure, and just build a house from start to finish. Spend my entire life building that house. And then in between building, I'd be mowing the grass and trimming the weeds and trying to get everything sorted out. And eventually the workload would get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then just get to the point where it's just so overwhelming that maybe I might start neglecting the weeds for a while. And then the next time I have to go do it, it's thicker, it's harder to get through. But I could do that. I could actually go through there and do that. But if I had a friend, partner, that workload's cut in half. If I have three or four or five friends, it's cut even further. There's 7 billion people on this planet. Bring them to the table, and that workload disappears. You see what I'm saying, people? Can you understand what I'm trying to do? The whole vision, the whole dream of bringing the world together. I'm not God. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Satan. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who sees the world in a different light than most. And I see the potential that we all have in each other. I see the potential that you yourself have. And if I look out into this world and I can dream big, then I know you can do the same thing. We can sit idly by and we can allow our world to just completely crumble if we want. It's that easy. We can sit on our couches and watch the flavor of the day, you know? Dancing with the Stars, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? But we can get out there and we could literally build the dream. It's obvious we can't build the Stairway to Heaven, and the actual dream of building the ultimate utopia is so far off in the distance it just seems completely impossible. It's almost like the laws of physics, you know? The laws of physics keep you caged in and say you can only do this, you can't go any further than that. Well, if that's the case, then what's the point? If we're not able to try and make every attempt to expand our horizons to, you know, make this world a better place and into infinity and beyond, all the way through the galaxies of time and space itself, if the adventure stops at the apocalypse or doomsday, if it's all going to go down the toilet anyway, what's the point? Sometimes I need to hear people just say, hey, you're doing a good job. If anything else, you at least made me smile. Anything to let me know this thing is worthwhile. ShazizRadio.com and Shaziz Mad Science on YouTube doesn't ask for any donations and never will. On my YouTube, I advertise that I'm in the search for free energy. And when I say free energy, that means it doesn't come with a price, such as you got to pay me for diagrams to get this free energy device. It's not what it's about. It's all about putting my best effort towards the world. And the only way that I know how to do it is through the madness of my website and my YouTube videos and stuff, trying to point out and get people to think outside the box. I made three videos called 1318, and there's a profound secret within those videos. And I lost probably 5 or 10 subscribers over those videos to my YouTube channel. And it's never been about the numbers, but, you know, I've had a lot of my videos thumbed down by somebody who can't stand my videos or me or whatever. But when you step up and you got a good idea and you kind of get smacked back a little bit, it's like, what's going on? All I want is for people take that question mark and staple it to the world. Question everything. Now, I ain't talking about in the form of being paranoid. I'm talking about question everything in the form of being a critical thinker. An independent individual. It takes your brilliance, your skills, your talents, gifts, and at the very least makes your life better, and at the very best makes somebody else's life better with yours. You know, sometimes folks will go on there and they will look at a title of a video and thumb it down before they ever even watch the content. Or they'll get halfway through the video and they don't like something that was said, and so suddenly, bam, you know. They wait to hear the punchline. They wait to hear the message. They wait to... They just go. They don't wait around long enough to hear what's trying to be conveyed. In every single person out there is a message. In every single person out there is a story. Hopes, dreams, and aspirations from the time that they were born till the time that they die. And if I had the time to sit around and listen to every single story on this planet, every single person out there, to get to know every living soul that ever lived on this planet, I would love to do so. The trials and tribulations of my brothers and sisters since the dawn of mankind, I would love to do so. I'd love to know why they chose the path that they went, or how they overcome adversities, It is a wonderful world whenever you sit back and look at the whole entire deal. If you can get past the blemishes that mankind have done throughout the histories, and you can look towards nature itself, you can look towards the beauty that is this planet Earth, maybe you can see what I see. I know I just don't know what to do outside of what I'm doing now. I don't know what I can do any better than what I'm doing now. If I'm not saying these words on the radio, and if I'm not trying to put together some plan, some sort of idea to open people's minds and make this world a better place, I don't know. I don't know what to do. One thing I do know is I'm not willing to give it up. The dream, that is. I'm not willing to give up the dream. I got children, I got grandchildren. I know I might get so discouraged that I just can't stand it. And even though people of my own faith will tell me that there's nothing I can do, that I can't fix the world, my hard-headedness, my heavy heart won't allow me to give up the dream. So I'm gonna play a couple things and see if I can get some of the Knights on board. Stay tuned, everybody, listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Time. tell me, came a voice from the sky on that magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Their light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door, to the world of another time.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I've been joined by Justin. Anyway, I've been talking about the world out there and my feelings about, you know, why I should or shouldn't continue to do what it is that I do here on the Knights of the Round Table and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if a person, human nature is, if a person's drowning, they'll fight till the bitter end to try to stay above water. You know, and so, you know, with that said, I'm just not willing to give up on the whole idea that we could actually make this world a better place if we actually all put the effort towards doing so. And for the most part, if you're even listening to the Knights of the Round Table, unless you're a new listener out there, I'm preaching to the choir, you know. But we gotta take it beyond just talking about it and beyond trying to work things out. You know, we've been propping each other up for years, you know, all these different networks out here helping each other out, meeting friends from all over the globe. Sometimes it's not even easy to find the words to say to try to reach out and uplift your brothers and sisters around there. And like I was explaining earlier in the show, that the it gets so overwhelming sometimes whenever you actually face down the beast. When you look into the eyes of pure evil, and even people of your own faith is telling you that, oh, well, there's nothing you can do. It's all, you know, it's all going to happen no matter what. Mankind is just evil, and mankind is the scourge of the land, and so on and so forth. You know, to hear some people talk, mankind is the worst thing in existence. I don't believe that. I believe that mankind has potential, both good and evil, and mankind has the potential to do right or wrong. It's a choice. It's free will. You don't
I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't give up. Just as society, mankind is changing. The internet, these shows, it's all bringing us closer together. And with the world economy and everything collapsing, the money that's blinding us, it is slowly disappearing, and people are coming together and realizing it's only a matter of time. We all feel the same way. We're all electrical, we're all thermodynamic, we're all mechanical, and we're all sitting on a big chunk of iron. And what happens when you send an electrical impulse through that iron? If we're all thinking the same thing, we are all connecting.
Well, maybe my feelings are kind of like you're just about at the end of that battle, and you about give about all you can, and you feel like you're about ready to die or just drop over, and you know, you're hoping like heck that the battle will be over and you can have the victory and win. But you know, battle weary is the word I'm looking for, I guess, you know. And I've seen this in a lot of people out there that, you know, really go out and they put so much effort and so much time into trying to make the world a better place. And you know, it's incredible if you look back and you see how long we've actually been doing this show. We're on nights 128, this episode right here. Looking at the last one we did was nights 127. And there's so much information in all those old podcasts, and I still haven't got around to uploading the podcast prior to when we actually started Shaziz Radio Network. And there's about 57 more before this that I need to upload. 57 more Knights of the Round Table shows that need to be uploaded. And there's actually some that Muddy Mudman has done that actually need to be uploaded. There were times whenever I couldn't be here that he took the show. Those actually need to be uploaded. So much to do, you know. Yeah, but in all those shows, there was brilliance. There was all kinds of ideas in the alternative energy, all kinds of ideas in heating and food and chemistry and everything. And so it's like a gold mine. If you had the time to sit down and listen to all of them, it's like a gold mine. It wasn't just one crazy King Shaziz the Terrible out there, some wild-haired mad science guy. It was Justin. It was Muddy. It was Thomas. It was Dublin and Steve and all these other individuals who come on there. You know, Alan Shearer over there, he does an awesome show out there. And Barry, I'll tell you, all these individuals out here, they just have so much brilliance, so much to add, so much to give. And if somehow or another we could show our appreciation by, you know, listening when they talk. If somehow or another we can take all that information that we've combined together and do something good for this world, to pave the stones into the future for the generations to come, to me, that makes it worth it.
All of us men and women and children, there's some young kids in these shows, and if we were all able to be together on our own land that's rightfully ours, we could progress. It's a lot harder for man to progress when we're across continents talking through headsets and microphones.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm working towards. My whole thing with my church, it's not a religious thing. I'm using religion to claim my own land, just like every other sovereignty country has done. Well, I want to bring people, I want common sense to be the law. That you see a school, why would you do 80? No. You see that, you should know. Common sense.
Well, you know, you got a point. Common sense is something that it's not as prevalent as it should be. You know, there are, common sense says if you stick your finger in the fire and it burnt the first time and hurt like heck, you probably ought not do it again, but yet people might just try it again. And so, you know, with that said, if you look back into history and you see all the different things that's gone on in history, you know, wars and all that, you know, There's numbers behind wars for a reason, you know. World War I, World War II, and now potentially World War III, you know. World War I or II was supposed to be the war to end all wars, you know, but here we are, we're getting ready to come up on number three. And so it's kind of like that joke, if Pete and Repeat is standing in a boat and Pete falls out, who's left?
Well, why are they called World War I, World War II? It wasn't until after World War II, World War I was called World War I.
Well, either way...
Albert Pike wrote of that in 1768 or 86.
Either way, you know, you know, we've left a long legacy of wars, skirmishes, whatever you want to call them, conflicts all over this globe, you know, from everywhere from Vietnam to Iraq to Afghanistan to, you know, every nation out there at one time, and some of them are in the present time afflicted by war. And so while all these individuals are out there fighting over war, one would have to ask the most important question of all. Is what are they fighting about? What are they actually fighting for? And who are they actually fighting against? You see what I'm saying? I know that sounds crazy, but it's like the Hatfields and McCoys. The old story, how they all been feuding for generation after generation. It finally come down to two of the youngest down there, they ask each other, do you remember why this, what started this whole feud to begin with? And nobody knew. Nobody, they had a couple ideas what it could have possibly been, you know. Somebody stole somebody's pig, or, you know, somebody insulted somebody's daughter. But either way, it just continued to escalate until, you know, you had the family feud that went on for years.
Example, I got a good example. United States is owned by King George. Canada is owned by Queen Elizabeth. Back in the war of 1812, yeah, the war of 1812, Britain burned down the White House. But that was just a dispute between the two married couple, and they were just playing us like cattle.
Well, and that's the thing right there. That is the key right there. You know, people have been manipulated by, you know, whether you want to say news media or whatever, you know, and governments of the world to further agendas in all different directions. If you ask the average Joe if they want to go to war, they're going to like, no, I don't want to go to war. Why would I want to send my kids over there to kill somebody else's kid?
You know? We allow it, and we choose to do so. If nobody went to war, and we all stepped off the plank, who would fight their battles? They would lose everything. They would not remain in power no more. We just have to walk off the plank.
Well, Barry, did I get you in here?
I don't think Barry's in here.
Well, I thought I had.
Just like eggs, great example of that. Look, when those two cops were shot in New York City, what did all the police, the entire police force, do to the mayor of New York City? They all turned their backs. That's all we need to do. No violence. Just stop and turn our backs. Walk off the plank.
Well, you know, that's pretty easy to say, but really hard to do.
Is it?
I'm trying to add Barry into the call here.
I see that.
I thought I did already.
It says Barry Prince and Chez is. Right?
Hold on. Doggone it. Anyway, let me see if I can get him in here. But, you know, I'm not willing to just give up. I'm not willing to,
I believe you're doing exactly what you chose to do when you chose to come here. I believe you're doing a good job at what you're doing. You bring people together. You don't even know what you do. You are doing good things. In a lot of ways, it is.
Well, I think we just finally got Barry in there.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
All right, cool.
I slept in.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I almost wanted to sleep in because I guess I woke up on the wrong side of bed. I didn't get bed till late, you know. And I started off the show by talking about how every morning I get up and I go out there and I look at the news, and then I look at the my YouTube subscriptions, and then I'll think about what I want to talk about on the show and all that kind of stuff there. And, you know, I was telling Justin here just a minute ago that if you look on the Knights podcast page, we're all the way up to, this is 128, and there's actually 50 some odd more shows that need to be uploaded from prior to this. And if you go back and you listen to all the different people that were on the Knights of the Round Table, I mean, it's like a gold mine of information. I mean, everything from alternative energy to medicine to solutions to everything under the sun, and just a bunch of brilliant individuals coming from all over the world. You know, but sometimes I wake up and I look out there and I see the world how it is, and I'm thinking, you know, it just, you don't feel like you're making any ground. You don't feel like you're making that much of a difference. And sometimes I just think I want to just up and quit. You know, I just want to walk away and just not deal with it anymore. Just live out the rest of my life and in my own personal little bubble and just give up. But, you know, if it hadn't been for people like Muddy and Justin and yourself and other people out there, I wouldn't be doing this show anymore because it's just so...
emotionally draining.
Yeah, I'm talking to the world and to most of the older listeners. It's preaching to the choir because they're of the same mindset. But to the newer ones, it's like I'm trying to tell them, you know, to tell somebody else that, you know, until it's all over, it's not over. We still have an opportunity with all the resources in this world to turn this around. And, you know, even people of my own faith are willing to lay down and give up because they say, like, well, you know, it's all in God's hands and we just, you know, just need to let it all be as it is. And, you know, I look at it different because I believe that when you look at that book that they call the Bible, the one I based my faith off of, is that you could look at that as the book of death or you could look at it as the book of life. You know, one or two ways. You know, if you want to go all the way to saying that it's all written in the stone and then the apocalypse is going to happen, doomsday scenario is all going to unfold and there's nothing you can do about it, then that's just the way it's going to be. And so, I'm like this, you know. It says in the book that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. And I'm not ready to say that, okay, well, you know, doomsday's coming anyway. I'm just going to sit back and wait for it to happen. You know, I don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100, 200,000 years from now before doomsday. But in the meantime, I want to try to make this world a better place for my grandchildren and their grandchildren and so on and so forth. You know, I want to try to put something positive on this whole deal. Because I feel like we've been given this beautiful planet with beautiful resources. I mean, wonderful, overwhelming, overabundance of resources and capabilities, talents, skills, gifts each and every one of us have. You know, by ourselves we can do amazing things, but together we can do mind-boggling amazing things. You see what I'm trying to explain to you, Barry?
Well, yeah, I agree with 100% to this. I mean, our time, I don't know how much time we have left on this planet, but I'm not going to stop myself from trying to make people aware of the changes that have been brought into our society. So many people are walking around blind right now, so they're still blind, even though we see all these events unfolding in front of us. I commend you for what you're doing, Shadid, because, like you said, buddy, someday when I get up and I just want to pretend that this isn't happening, that I could just go back to doing fishing and going out and doing stuff that I used to do prior to getting informed about what's going on in this planet. Now I know what's going on. I can't shut up, man. We can't shut up. Shadid, you never shut up. We know that. You know, we go through these periods, buddy, and like I share your feelings, but sometimes I just have to get right away from it. There was a time in the last year I just had to walk away and just take a couple weeks and recharge my batteries. Because what it is, what we're dealing with is emotionally overwhelming. And every day we cry for our fellow beings and they don't seem to be listening to us. So it is frustrating, for sure. But, you know, in the bright side of things, I honestly see, you know, people around me really starting to wake up.
Not
in large numbers, but I do see people waking up. I have conversations with people now that I would have conversations with a couple of years ago about issues in the world, and all of a sudden they're aware of it and they're becoming informed. So, whether it's going to have fast enough wish, I don't know. We need a mass awakening on the planet.
I believe that too, Barry. I guess I'm just kind of at the point, you know, like if you could imagine we're all in this huge battle and we're running towards the enemy and we're, you know, fighting and, you know, I was way out front. I made the sprint out front and I'm battling away and then as you're coming up on me, I'm kind of going down, you know, I'm losing my wind, and then you reach down and grab me by my shirt and pull me back up into the fight, you know?
That's one of man's problems. We all have downfalls, and man never realizes it until the last moment. And that's everyone, including myself. We all need that push. That's why in a relationship, if neither one of you are pushing each other, then it never goes nowhere. You need that, and man needs that, and man will not realize it until the last minute. A man will pick up a bottle of beer and drink it till his livers are shot, and he's on dialysis. And then even when he's out of there, and if he makes it out of there, he still thinks about the bottle. That's just man, our desire to want.
Yeah, but I'm not,
We won't change until, like Barry says, we see some major event happen.
Well, see, and that's what... The major event is happening. It's happening right now.
It definitely is. I agree.
And it's just the fact that, you know, maybe people haven't, you know, some folks just rolled over and hit the snooze button, so to speak, you know? And we don't have time for them to hit the snooze button. So the ones who are, as far as we're concerned, awake, we're out here, we're already in battle, and we're hoping like heck that the reinforcements will show up before it's all over with. You know, like I said, people in my own faith, they will say that, you know, there's nothing that you can do. You know, it's all pre-written, it's all ordained, that's all there's going to be to it. But I don't see that. When I read that book from start to finish, I see potential, I see possibilities, I see lessons, parables to explain certain things in life. And so I see that if we were able to, let's say hypothetically, we could get every single planet, every single person on this planet to wake up instantaneously and realize that we got to do something before it's all messed up. We have physically the potential to literally create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Now, is that plausible that it's going to happen? We already know the answer to that, but that's the potential is there. It could happen. And so, to me, it's like the ultimate dream that we all come together, not under some one-world government or one-world religion, just under a one-world idea of humanity in making the world a better place for, you know, common sense purposes, for decency purposes, or whatever, leaving behind, after you and I are through with this world, something better for the folks coming in line. You know, none of us would be sitting here today having this conversation had there not been somebody else prior to us sacrificing their time and efforts, blood, sweat, and tears in order to make the world to where it is right now. And we got knuckleheads out there somewhere in this world trying to steer this world in directions that's going to lead him to a pile of money as opposed to leading humanity into the ultimate enlightenment. I believe that our Creator gave us the potential to do amazing things, and we could still do that to this very day. But to get past the point where, you know, the free will, you have the choice of good or evil, sometimes it's fun to be the bad guy, you know, to be the wise guy or whatever. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yes.
To try to get past that point is like pulling teeth, because if some massive casualty or some massive calamity was to occur, to where man had to get up and do something or die as a whole, then I could see that would be when the true potential of humanity would kick in. We'd have to come together. We wouldn't have no other alternative. But before it ever even gets that far, crazy guys like me are dreaming of the ultimate dream that we can get there before the calamity, so we don't lose a lot of people on the way, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, this is the biggest challenge I think our society faces now, is breaking down the divisions between us. And we've talked about that many times. You know, if we're going to fight this enemy, first, society has to identify the enemy, and a lot of people haven't yet. They still think the government are good guys. Once we identify the over a long period of time, because the world we're on right now, you know, the society is divided, it's easy to conquer, and our society is divided so many ways.
Yeah.
I think our biggest challenge in the human race is to put aside our differences and identify the enemy. The enemy isn't your friend across the street, it isn't these people we're fighting across the ocean. The enemy is the people inside your government. And when they identify that, maybe we can put a stop to it. But the real issue is, I honestly believe that so much of society is so brainwashed and so in their comfort zone that they will refuse to identify this because it will knock them out of their comfort zone. It is so blatantly obvious in our society today that something is very, very messed up in Denmark, and that people still go about their lives watching TV, going to their jobs, going to the store, doing their regular daily routines. They're not sitting around the table at night with their friends and neighbors discussing what we can do to put a stop to this tyranny.
Yep.
And that's where we need to get to, brother. So,
and that's why
that's our biggest challenge, buddy. It really is.
That's why I like the movie The Matrix, because The Matrix, for whatever you might think about that movie, it talks about the veil that's been pulled over your eyes. It talks about how, like you said, some people within that matrix would fight to the death to keep inside that matrix because that's where they feel comfortable. They don't want to face the truth of what they've got going on.
Exactly.
You know, like this thing that's going over there, over there in Japan with the radioactive material leaking into the water. This should be a red flag that should be talked about 24/7 and solutions out, people out there on the site trying to get this under control, because, you know, you lose that piece over there and it may never come back. You know, you lose this specific species of animal or fish or bird. It may never come back. And so, as we're sitting here watching, we should have been learning throughout the entire history of mankind, all the way from the invention of gunpowder, all the way up to guns, to, you know, everything, you know, bombs and atomic bombs and so on and so forth, all the way up. We should have been able to learn from the mass destruction. We should have been able to learn from the scenes that played out in history, to where there were wars over here that just devastated entire communities and countries, to the point where now these are considered like third world countries where disease and famine runs rampant. And as a person myself, and I know you guys probably feel the same way, I would have went about it a whole different way. You know, I'm not wanting to go over there and bomb the heck out of anybody or anything like that. I'm wanting to make the world a better place. And before I actually drop the bomb, I'd have to sit back and seriously contemplate on the ramifications, such as, what am I doing to these people now? And what am I going to be doing to the people of the future? You know, if you was the president of the United States and you had your finger on the red button, how could you, in any conscience, even remotely think that was going to make anything better? You know, whether you're the president of the Soviet Union or emperor of China or whatever, put your finger on the button. You know, hey, I'm going to show how tough I am. Watch this. I push this button, sends my rocket over, puts this big mushroom cloud up, wipes the heck out of all the enemy, and in the process, you know, hey, I'm the top dog of the log. I'm bad to the bone, so to speak. But what you just did is you essentially killed yourself. You know? There ain't no common sense in that. That's
why we're shooting ourselves in the foot, and we don't even realize that she is.
Yeah.
We're such a brainwashed, manipulated society that we are killing ourselves, and we don't identify the fact that we're killing our children, we're killing our future. People, I do see a paradigm shift in that thinking now. I look at life like, well, you know, I identify the evils in our society. I identify what's coming for the future of our children. Well, what else could I do right now better with my time than try and share that knowledge with other people?
That's right.
There is nothing more important right now, as I see life right now, than to try and share knowledge with our fellow man, to try and share love with our fellow man, open your hearts to him, and give him a hug, and say, hey, brother, we do bleed the same color of blood, and you might be a different religion, you might be a different race, but we still are the same inside. We're all created equal on this planet, and we are in a big pile of crap. And, you know, people are starting to look at shit.
Who was it?
You really have to flap, and you have to kind of flap them in the side of Facebook.
Who was it?
You gotta start from our children. Our children are taught that patriotism, nationalism, fascism, right from day one in school.
Yeah, they're being indoctrinated.
Yeah, the isms will get you. Who was it that said, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction?
Isaac Newton.
Yeah, there you go. See, now, that doesn't just apply in physics. That applies in life as well, because, you know, you throw out a positive pebble out there, you're going to get a reaction. Maybe that's counterproductive. I don't know. I thought I had something important to say, but I guess I blew it.
No, I kind of followed your train of thought there. I know what you're trying to say. Maybe I didn't, but I kind of got it.
Well, I'm trying to say, you know, if I'm going to throw some positive out there, I want some positive back. I don't want, you know, a whole bunch of negatives. Like if I throw a positive pebble out, here comes back a negative brick or something. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying, I get so overwhelmed. I'm like a sponge. I absorb all this stuff. You know, I want to hear every story from every living people that ever walked the face of this earth. I want to know, you know, their life. I'm just amazed. You know, I can't even drive past an old house without thinking back about the people that lived in that house and the life that they led.
What life was like back then?
Yeah.
When we had real food, when we didn't have chemicals in our air, and we weren't having vaccines shoved in our arm every time we went to the office of the doctor, or our children having 24 vaccines stuck in their body prior to going to preschool. I mean, what has really changed? Our society has become so upside down, man.
We allow that though. My kid hasn't had any vaccines, like, you know, the basics, some of them, you know, but nothing outside the box.
They're trying to mandate that for college kids to go back to school that they have to have certain vaccinations.
Yeah.
But
what kind of a society is this, guys? What are you talking about, mandatory vaccination? Where are we in 1938? What is going on here? People think it's what? We're getting mass vaccinations for the measles and the mumps? Well, Shazam, we had measles and mumps and chickenpox and all these diseases when I was a child. It was normal. We lived through it. Our bodies dealt with it. But our bodies these days can't deal with it because they're so depleted. Our immune systems are so depleted. We're so full of chemicals that they can't deal with these issues anymore. And yet now we see what they want to mass is vaccinate the whole population because of measles, mumps. I mean, come on, guys. This is 1938 Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Where does anybody give you them the right under any guise to tell you that you've got to stick this in your body? Come on.
Well, I did.
Talk of crap.
And
Obama's pushing it right still in nothing, buddy.
Well, I got my opinions on Obama. I literally believe that he's the biblical Antichrist. Anyway,
absolutely.
I did 3 videos out there, and I did them for a reason, and I'm hoping that when people see those videos, they'll actually be able to understand what it is that I've been trying to point out. But these videos 13, 18, you know, I'm a mad science channel. I've lost probably, I don't know, 5, 10 subscribers. It ain't ever been about the numbers, but it points out something really important. And you just... go Google up 1318. And look at pictures. Let me open this file real quick and tell you a couple things to Google. And you will be surprised at what you see just with those stupid numbers. Alright? Now, in the videos, I point out a lot of stuff. Google up the year 1318 and see what all happened in that year. And then just Google 1318 is evil, or is 1318 evil, or 1318, what does it mean, or 1318 secret meaning, and you're going to come up with a lot of stuff. Man, I'm talking about a massive amount. And look at not only regular just on searching the web, but also look at the photos that come up. You're going to find everything from numerology, like in numerology, 1318 is an angel number. It's number 1318 is a blend of vibrations of numbers, one appearing twice, amplifying its influence, and the energies of numbers 3 and the number 8, number, hold on, let me scroll over. Number 1 brings with the attributes of self-leadership and assertiveness, initiative, instinct, intuition, new beginnings, a fresh approach. It relates to courage, motivation, striving forward. Progress also reminds us that we create our own realities with our thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Number 3 offers assistance, encouragement, enthusiasm, growth, expansion, principles, increases, broad mind thinking, communication, and it just goes on. It just goes on and on and on. And there's just so much information. But that's just one example of it. If you go to www.5doves.com /rapture/2009/Obama_rev1318.html, I'll just throw that link up in the doggone in the chat room, you know. But either way, this talks about Obama being the Antichrist in 2009. All right, and this is just going out Googling up 1318, and it's really crazy that, you know, I do this video and I point out the clock, and what ends up happening is here years later, I do this doggone video and I go out there and all I do is Google up just those numbers. And I come up with clock after clock after clock after 666 this and 666 that. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's all about the numerology in the Bible.
Yeah, it's zodiac signs, the 1318 birthstone. It's also house bill list 1318. HB 1318 changes the law regarding to the use of Social Security number as an employee number and laws regarding mental health. Those just barely scratch the surface of that doggone number.
Yeah, the implications are mind-boggling.
Yeah,
they are. I've studied it, and you know, people don't. You better go look at what you do as a talking book, guys, because like I said, the Bible is based a lot of the Bible prophecies and Bible revelations about what's happening in today's world is based on the numerology.
Yeah.
And he writes it out. They're very clear. If you add up the numbers, they add up. One thought I'm going to throw in there, Chisholm, about the Antichrist. I've studied Obama quite a bit, and I've also been really following what this new Pope is doing and what he's mandating.
Yeah.
In his platform. And I'll tell you, in my world, he falls into the biblical description of the Antichrist much more than Obama, but we're not ones to decide that, but both of them are filling parameters of prophecy that would really indicate that they are the man that the Bible talks about at this particular time in history.
Well, I feel like
a very evil, evil, evil man.
I feel like, according to the Bible, the Pope fits the false prophet and Obama fits the Antichrist scene. Because if you Google up Obama, two important pictures will come up in that Google search. One will be a depiction of what people think Jesus Christ looked like, and the other one will be a picture of Obama that looks like the picture of what they think Jesus Christ will look like, you know, with the whole halo and the way that he actually came on the scene. But either way, you know, going down that rabbit hole, it's amazing that you know, you just got to watch the videos. You got to have an open mind. You got to watch the videos. Google up 1318 meaning. And here's what I was trying to say. I Googled, after doing a video about the clock, not one, but three videos about it, I Googled up 1318. And I come across clock after clock after clock. I wasn't the only one in this world who ever come to that conclusion. So, you know.
Well, you know what, you want to hear, I don't know if you're aware of this, it's kind of an interesting little bit of information. You know, the night that Obama first was elected president of the United States in 2008, that following night, the Illinois State Lottery came up, his home state apparently, the state came up with the number 666-777-10 as the main draw number. Those are all very, very blatant numerical references in the Bible. And yeah, it's kind of ironic that they came up following that he was elected on the Illinois. The odds of that happened, they said, were 1 in 375,000 for those numbers to come up at that time. So, that was kind of interesting.
There is a whole lot of, doggone it, I added to the wrong one. I'm trying to add Muddy in here. There's a whole lot of parallels, you know, with that book that you see in there, you know. But either way, you know, you just, there's got to be a certain point when it's no longer a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Like, such as what I'm saying, it ceases to be a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping out of the sky and fish and dolphins are washing up on the seashore and so on and so forth. You know, it's, to me, it's a wake-up call. You know, hey, you better pay attention to what's going on out here. Fukushima, Chernobyl, all the different things that's happened in history. You know, it all should have been a wake-up call for humanity. You know, I don't want to see any of this come to pass. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm a dreamer. I'm a guy who wants to say, can't we all just get along? And I want to see this world to be a better place than what it is today. I'm... You know, the folks that are supposedly our representatives that are leading our world of nations they're leading us off the cliff, essentially. You know, and the financial game that's played on us, the matrix, the wool that's pulled over everybody's eyes, you know, people living in their own separate little bubble. The day that every single bubble out there burst is going to be the worst day in the history of time, because those folks are just going to go insane.
Absolutely. Yeah, they are. I mean, look at the mechanisms that can bring on society right now. You know, we've got biological weapons. We've got the economy on a tipping point of absolutely collapsing around the world. And if people don't realize that, then they're not watching what's going on. We watch Russia and China falling away from the U.S. dollar right now. The U.S. dollar is going to collapse, guys. It's inevitable. It's been set up to collapse. It's been set up for this particular time in history. And when they do collapse, it's like you said, society, most people in society, a good percentage of people in society today aren't prepared to last a week without the functions of society going on around them. And if all of a sudden that is taken away from a majority of the population, the tyranny that will bring into society is something that we don't even want to talk about.
Yeah.
People's brains, people's minds are completely thrown into a state of unrational thinking when their bodies and their minds are subjected to tyranny and disarray and absolute confusion in society. And that's what they're going to bring down the hammer. And people are going to be walking around going, what is going on? What is going on? What's going on? What's going on? And you're going to hear that, and people are going to get mad. But by that time, buddy, it's going to be too late. We have to cut the head off the snake now.
Yeah, you pointed out a lot of important, really important truths that need to be people need to be addressed. But one of the things that I found the most disturbing about what the truths that you talked about was when you mentioned biological weapons. What kind of person literally tries to cause death, you know, use a bacteria to turn it into a weapon, you know? That, if we sit here and argue sometimes about whether or not there's good or evil, but doggone it, if that isn't evil, You know, because you're not talking about going up and just shooting somebody and it's over. You're talking about a tormenting, torturous, miserable type death.
Yeah. And, you know, these people are, they enjoy doing this shit. This is what people don't realize, that these people are not human beings. These I don't know how to really describe them, but they're not human beings. And, you know, this kind of suffering, they would enjoy that. They enjoy this kind of suffering. If their minds are completely different than yours and mine, they don't have a soul, they don't have a heart. And, you know, the weapons they've got you, you know, these biological weapons, literally, they could take a vial of a biological weapon, unleash it in the atmosphere over a major U.S. city, and everybody within 300, 400 miles would be dead in 4 or 5 hours. These are the kind of weapons that they have. You got to realize that these guys, when they pull a hammer on us, they are going to pull out all the stops. Every little toy in their arsenal, they're going to unleash on us at once. That will bring us into a complete state of disarray in society. They turn off the power, they turn off the water, you can't go to the bank. All you've got is the money in your pocket and the food in your house, and you better have some candles for some light. When society, when that happens to society, we know it's, when people are put into that kind of a state of thought, they will pretty well go along with anything the government tells them to do.
Yeah.
Because at that point, they are reaching for straws. They have no answers. They're not prepared themselves. Their family is sitting there in the dark, shivering cold, no water, no food. They will pretty well do anything that the government tells them to do, or they're going to come and kill you for your food and your water. Your neighbor will turn on you in a dime if it meant his kids over top of yours. You got to realize all these things are going to be brought to be.
Well, and you know, something that's really important that people need to think about, you know, why they're out there rooting for it, you know, like we get these messages on the radio about how there's a terrorist organization and they're doing terrible things or whatever. Now, the fact that there's people doing that in the world is terrible enough. But then the fact that people are out here rooting that, you know, hey, go over and bomb the crud out of them, you know, kill. It's disturbing to my very core to even think about, you know, war, period. But that people don't slow down long enough to understand that once the leaders make the choice to attack anybody, it's a done deal. Once the bomb's dropped, you can't pull it back. Once the bullet flies, you can't stop it, you know? It's a done deal. It is a permanent. Death is permanent, you know? And to allow people to go over and do things to each other, if it's really occurring, like, you know, people over there beheading Christians and so on and so forth, even Muslims being beheaded over there. To allow that, you know, we can't allow that to happen. But
look at the things that take place. Look at over there in Belgium, what they did. That cartoon artist there depicted some pictures of, you know, the Muslim God. You know, yeah, they shot the guy or whatever happened, but what would happen to me if I depicted a picture on my front lawn of Jesus sucking off the Pope? Pardon my language. Sorry, pardon my language, but what would happen to me? I would be called a terrorist and named all kinds of things, right? That's a very, very horrible scene and picture to Christians and stuff, right? So they play that religion card on other things to get that big dramatic scene.
Well, you know, there's folks
propaganda
out there that want to put you know, satanic statues up to counteract, you know, Christianity statues, and then there's other things going out there about mosque. You can't offend these guys, but you can offend these guys or whatever. It's all divide and conquer, Justin. You know,
they put the satanic statues at the colleges.
But once again,
if you look at Google Earth, if you look at the Washington D.C. and everything, you look at the streets, it carves out a star, right?
Once again, Justin, I don't want people out there to look down on my personal beliefs. I don't subscribe to religion. You know, I call myself.
Why?
I call. Listen, I call myself a Christian because I believe in the teachings of that book. All right, and I believe it, I believe the Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That's my own personal spiritual journey. You know, yep. And everything outside of that, you know, I don't force on anybody. But I don't want people thinking because of this big debate whether we got to take God in or out of everything, or, you know, all religions are bad, they all did this, they all did that. I don't want that to reflect on me as a person for my own personal spiritual journey. Maybe in the long term I might be wrong, you know, but then again I might be right. And if that book is as accurate as it says appears to be, like looking out into the world and seeing what's been said and done in our time, then to me that's only more justification that my book is right. You know, but I'm not going to take my faith and go over and kill somebody, you know, because that's my book says don't. And so, you know.
If you really study your words, Jim, I mean, if you really study your words, Justin, if you really go down the rabbit hole and you really look into it, you'll find out that most of these conflicts are generated by the banksters to create the war situation so that the industrial and military complex can justify taking more billions and billions and billions of dollars out of Americans' future and spending it, and therefore, you know, filtering it into their banking systems. All wars are decided before they started. All wars are fought on both sides by the banksters. And if you really look at the rabbit hole, you'll find that out. So what's really happening in our world? We have a group of people that create situations where there's conflicts, where there's divisions in society. All these bombs that are being dropped on these innocent people across the ocean under the guise of defense of our country, this is all going to come back and bite us back, man. I mean, if you were a person over there and all of a sudden in the middle of the night you hug your children goodnight, you give them a big kiss, you love them to death, all of a sudden in the middle of the night a bomb drops on your house, well, what do you think your brother living across town is going to do about that? Do you think he's going to let that rest? Then we are creating situations where America, not the American people, but America, the name America, is being pretested, is being referenced to as the next Nazi nation on the earth, all over this planet right now. We see
The scientists and NASA and all that was all founded upon the retired Germans that came over. I don't mean to play the race card, but that's the country they came from. You know, I'm not playing. I never played in a race car. I come from a small little town, you know, and I've never seen and I've never had any of that conflicted in me. Racism is something that we put into our children. You know, like we talk about bullying and stuff that our kids are killing themselves on the internet, they're showing on YouTube, they're acting out like this because that's how they see our people that we're supposed to look up to. You don't see politics, they're ratting each other out, they're scamming the systems, they're doing all this stuff, it's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, what are they being indoctrinated right from the time they start going to school? They're indoctrinated into the new core systems that are in the school system. They go home, they put on their iPods, and what are they watching? They're watching the most demonic crap that I've ever seen in my life. Well, you know, the most impressionable time in their lives is when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. It doesn't matter to you what. They're sponges. And if their parents aren't directing them and making them aware of what they're seeing around them, they're going to suck this right up. They are going to be what they see. We are creating a generation of children that think that that sex, that race, that murder, that racism, that killing your fellow man is the greatest thing you can do on this world. It's okay to be homosexual. This is all being indoctrinated in our children. Why? Because if you attack the youth of a society, if you demoralize that society, you attack the youth, you will destroy that society. And that is exactly what's happening in the United States of America. Our children are vaccine enough. They're drinking chemicals. They're eating fruit that is absolutely devoid of nutrition. Absolutely has no good in it at all. They are getting sick. All diseases in childhood are going right off the scale everywhere. And they're accelerating. We have to put a stop to this because it's our children that are really suffering down
there. Yeah, you send your kids to school and it's dumbifying them. My daughter is going to be 6 years old and she knows the basics of trigonometry and she knows multiplication and addition and subtraction because I've taken the time out and taught her that. Otherwise, the school wouldn't do that. My daughter was ready for school. At 2 years old, she could tie her shoes. She had no diaper at 10 months old overnight in her bed. My daughter was walking at 7 months old because I was there every day because I don't work. I made time to progress my child. Right. My daughter's playing the guitar. My daughter's playing the violin because I make time to do that.
Listen, guys. Muddy's in here, and I want to hear from him, but before that, you know, all of what we're talking about right here all falls back to what I was talking about at the beginning of this show. All this stuff that we hear going on out there in this world and what we see going on, we ultimately have the power to stop, but the fact that it ain't been stopped yet or that we are trying to put our foot on the brakes and it ain't slowed down enough to do anything about it, there's where the battle weary comes in. There is where the frustration and I don't know if I'm making a difference thing applies. You see where I'm coming from? That's what brings me to the point is that as I look so deep into the rabbit hole and I'm standing there staring in the face of evil itself with all the different things that we've heard and talked about, that it becomes so overwhelming for the average Joe. That's why people don't want to come out of the bubble. It's like the movie The Matrix when that one guy said, "All I want is for to go back in and not remember or not know anything." You see what I'm trying to say?
Yep. Can't go back there anymore. It's too late for that, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
I said it once before.
There's no going back now. We know that. But I know how you feel.
Yeah, go ahead, Marty.
Hey, Marty, how you doing, buddy?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I'm doing well. The Bible says, "In the last day, as it was in Egypt, so shall it be in the last days." If you think about what was happening, the people were getting to. They were slaves. They got exercise. The Hebrews multiplied.
It says,
They got too strong in the days of Noah. The Pharaoh. And if you look at it, basically, the Hebrews went out of the land, and they were got followed by the armies. Yeah, pretty much. And then they wound up just going all crazy and doing all sorts of sinful stuff down the bottom of the mountain when Moses went up in it. And if you can't see the parallel to exactly what's happening right now, then I'd say that person doesn't have much of a brain. That is what's going on. History is repeating itself.
Yeah, it is. The part you were trying to say is one of I think two episodes in there. It says, as in the day of Noah, so shall be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. And you're right, because if you look out there in the world, in the Bible, back in the talk before Noah, the reason why the great flood, God sent down the great flood, was because of all the evils and sins of mankind. I mean, they were running amok. They had no morals or standards. They just did whatever they wanted to. I mean, it was totally just an abomination to what it was all supposed to be to begin with. And so we're seeing that as a repeat. And so, you know, that that should be a warning sign to people, you know. If you look at, just go read Revelations just for giggles. Even if you're a non-believer, just go read it and look at Revelations and then look out into the world and all the things that you know, from everything from vaccines to RFID tags and wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, and so on and so forth. Just read it and tell me if you don't think that it applies to what you're seeing out there. Is it one massive coincidence, or was some person in history a couple thousand years ago wise enough to write down some warnings to the world that, you know, if you go down this path, this is what's going to end up happening? You know, however you want to look at it, you can't deny that 2,000 years ago some folks put a book together that just seems to parallel every single thing that's going on in our time, in our space. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. I think time goes backwards anyway.
Read your newspaper, buddy.
Somebody documented it before it ever even happened. That ought to be a warning sign.
What she does is they kind of document what's happening and they're telling us what's going on and kind of tell us what's coming. I think I've listened to what they're telling about what's coming myself.
Yeah,
it's been pretty accurate so far, haven't they?
Yeah, it has. And this is my point of this whole deal. You know, even though my frustrations get to the point where I feel like I just want to quit and not do no more radio shows and just walk away from it, I feel like if I'm not shouting it out, nobody's hearing it anyway, and it's not whatever. But
I've got some good news for you.
Come
and cut some mountains with me, Shiz.
I gotta shout this stuff out. I gotta say it because in that book it says that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night, which tells me that I don't know when the end's coming. All right. And in the meantime, that means we all got to live here together. Whether we're Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, or whatever, you know, atheist, we have to live together. And so I want to make the world a better place. It'd be nice to go out there, YouTube, and hear the Christians and the atheists having a peaceful debate, you know, instead of calling each other every name under the sun. You know, you're going to burn in hell, or you're just a retard for believing in some magical spirit guy in the sky or whatever, you know. Just the constant conflict, the divide and conquer that keeps everybody pitted against one another. Republican against Democrat, so on and so forth. All I'm saying, guys, is that I don't know when the end's coming. It may not come in my lifetime. It may come tomorrow. It may come in the next 5 minutes. I don't know. All I know is that with the Knights of the Round Table, I wanted to put together a platform in which everybody could come together peacefully at the table and respect each other's differences and views and opinions and work out solutions to make this world a better place. We got a corrupt government in just about every single nation. We've got corrupt bankers worldwide that are controlling, and they're getting rich off of all of our, you know, everything that happens bad to us, it pays them. You know, you can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no bullets if ain't nobody fighting, you know. And so with that said, best way to, you know, somebody said war is profitable, you know. So you run out there, you slap the bee's nest, you get them all mad, they come rushing out, and while they're out there fighting amongst each other, you got your buddy over there stealing the honey out of the bee's nest. You see what I'm saying?
War is the poor of our country go to fight the poor of our country. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way. I mean, it's such an atrocity that goes on, and we sit back and we let it continue. You have to put a stop to it, and the way you put a stop to that is to identify, and all of us walk away.
Yep. All of us out here who are awake, we're doing the best we can with what resources we got. We're putting blogs out there. We're putting radio shows out there. We're talking to one another here at the round table. We're doing everything that we physically can do right now. And so for those out there listening in, don't get discouraged that your radio show is not making a difference, because I believe that it really seriously is. It's just... it's a waiting game almost. We're sitting here waiting around for other people to wake up to the same reality that we're seeing and understand how important it is that we get on this thing and fix this world before it gets to World War III or whatever coming apocalypse that somebody might predict. So what we're doing out here is the best we can with the resources we got. We're doing a radio show on sometimes ragtag computers, on sketchy internets and whatever. But we're sitting here, we're throwing it out there for everybody. All the good ideas, the common sense, everything we can. We're doing everything we can. I'm financially doing what I can. I'm physically and mentally and spiritually doing what I can to try to put out there some sort of hope and some sort of light to people out there in this world, because I don't believe until it is over that it is actually over. when I look out there in this world and I see the resources that we have available to us, and I see the potential in every human out there, friends from all over the globe, I am not willing to give up, even though sometimes I'm battle weary and I feel like I can't go on any farther. And that's where my friend Muddy and Barry and Justin come in, because they keep me motivated. They tell me, and Dublin tell me, you know, things like, you know, you ain't doing it for nothing, you're doing good, and you need to keep going. You see where I mean?
Yep. Hey, I got good news for you.
Yeah.
Found four scripts and a computer program and all that sits there and runs Skype, and your broadcaster all in one and does wonderful. It's got incredible audio, no more schlocky sound. When people get a little bit loud, I think you'll enjoy it.
Cool.
Matter of fact, I spent so much time working on it, I fell asleep and slept right through my show and yours.
I was getting worried.
Anyway,
buddy.
Basically, I got it all set up. It should take about a half hour to put in. I think you'd enjoy it.
I was getting worried, buddy, because I thought I made you mad or offend you some way, because I hadn't heard from you for a while. I didn't realize you were busy.
He was up late last night.
What I did is I decided to put a different operating system on my laptop, so I formatted it, and then I came over and formatted the thumb drive, which was formatting my hard drive on this one, which had two broadcasting systems on it. And so
I can't wait for you to hear that, buddy.
Broadcaster list. And so I started from scratch, and I got a much better system than I've ever had before.
Cool. When are you coming to Canada? Make it quick.
Okay.
You think you're coming to pick mushrooms, eh?
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely set you a broadcaster up.
Well, I'm literally going to do some pre-interview stuff in my house, all these other gadgets you talk about. I'm looking forward to it, buddy. I've never met you in my life.
I'm looking forward to it. I make you a broadcaster, Bubba.
Well, see, that's wonderful. You guys are living on two separate points of the globe right now, and you actually get an opportunity to come see each other. And, you know, I had the pleasure of having my friend from Australia over here, and... you know, I know other friends who's been able to go to Scotland and Ireland and stuff like that. You know, this internet, even though I believe that the entire web itself is the system of the beast, I mean, it will suck you in and absorb you and eat you alive if you allow it. It also has an opposite side to it, where it is one massive resource database. It is also one massive communication that where you can talk to people and share information clear across the globe to each other. And I believe that's probably why they want to try to get as much control over the internet as possible to shut us up, because we're taking what would have been a power tool for them and turning it against them. You see what I'm talking about?
Well, we are, buddy. It's the internet that is our most powerful weapon right now, bar none. And it's great that we can talk to people around the world. I mean, 20 years ago, I wouldn't even envision this. And now I can get on and talk to people in 20 different countries at the same time. It's good because we need this right now. We need this form of communication. And they are going to package to this. We see Obama now trying to bring in regulations, and because of cyber attacks. Of course, they create the attack first, and then they justify a law to come in and react. You know, it's a problem, reaction, solution. And we're going to watch it. They're going to attack it for sure. So we're going to have to come up with another way of communicating with each other. I think that should be something we should all be thinking about here in the next little while.
Yeah, and there are old technologies that could be reused if you could find them.
Yeah, the ham radio.
Yeah, ham radios have the capability of packet radio, and there's also a thing called an acoustic coupler that they used to use their old style modems, where you actually stuck an old phone in there and it would pick up the tones of that phone and then make the phone call to the computer on you. So old technology can be used. You can literally take two CBs and transmit and receive data using an old acoustic coupler as your transmitter, because the only thing the computer on the opposite side is looking for is the screes and blees, the dots and dashes that are transmitted. If it hears those tones, it'll grab that information. And so even without the cables or the wires or the satellite, we still have the potential to have our own internet.
I think that's what we're going to have to look at here in the future, because they're going to try and shut it down. I mean, there's all kinds of moves against it. They've already tried a couple times and it got shot down, but they'll keep doing it till they get what they want and shut us up.
Well, if you know
any... We're definitely causing a ripple in their pond, buddy.
If you know any good, really super good electronics wizards out there, and you know anybody who can research up and find a couple acoustic couplers, that would make one really awesome video to take that technology and combine those two old technologies and a computer together to get an old-style modem to dial through an old-style acoustic coupler and transmit across to CB radio back and forth, to couple CB radios back and forth. And you want to talk about power, because then you could have a mobile internet that could go anywhere with you. Even if your CB CB would only reach 5 miles max, you could relay that 5 mile, that information from one mobile unit to the next mobile unit and so on down the line. And during certain periods of time, like they call it skip in the CB world, you could actually transmit from here to Mexico data.
Yeah, 200 milliamps and a small dipole antenna will get you about a mile and a half.
Well, either way, I would love to see somebody work on that project. You know, if I could ever come across any myself, I'm going to work on it myself and do the video. But if somebody beats me to it, it's something that... You did a how-to video on how to take antique-style acoustic coupler, old antique-style, maybe a 64 baud modem or whatever, I don't know, 56K modem, and a couple old CB radios or whatever, and built...
Talk about packet radio.
Yeah, it's essentially what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about something that the average Joe... Could you know, put together, you know?
Yeah, somebody has, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to do it.
If you look at a Foxhole radio, it's a bottles. Bottles are everything. If you take a bottle and you put it in a bucket of water facing down, you apply pressure. If you put the bottle in the water sideways and then you pull it up, you create a vacuum. Now you can put wires in there, and now you have a vacuum bottle. And then you can create a differential by pushing it up or pulling it down. Simple little things. If you hook up a ground wire in there and a plate up in the sky, then you're going to get a fluctuating pulse out of it now.
Yep. Right. Well, the only thing that other computer's looking for is the tones. Once it finds them tones, back in the old days, there was actually a kid who recorded the dial tones and was passing that around and was able to tell the payphones that you dropped in money, when in reality you didn't drop no money, and it just played back the tones through the mouthpiece and told it that you got the phone call because you paid.
That was from a movie, Hackers, too, and that was based on a true story, yes.
And so we got potentials. I mean, it's not over. The doomsday hasn't come about, but even if it does come about, we can still survive this thing, you know? And so with that said, there's power in all these videos out here, and all these old Knights of the Round Table shows that we've talked about, different things, alternative energy and everything else under the sun. Download all this stuff, you know? Worst case scenario, at least you got entertainment during the time whenever nobody else has it or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know? So, anyway.
Yeah, the CB isn't really all that hard to do. You could either do by code or frequency shift keying. Frequency shift keying would be a little bit different. It would be changing the frequency to do the baud. But basically, you'd have to change your bauds down for every 100 cycles. You want to basically bring it down so you have something to modulate with. In other words, on a CB, you're at 27.185. I'd say you could do about 2,700 baud. Okay, so that way it doesn't distort your signal setup.
Yeah,
and you could either do the frequency shift keying by shifting the frequency back and forth, or you
just basically do a make and break. It'll sound more like code and wouldn't be, you could do it with two different frequencies of audio and pick it up off AM that way, or just make and break the connection for your oscillator. And it really shouldn't be all that hard. You don't need much else. As long as you got the rest of the equipment, as long as you got the modem ready to kick in, broadcasting out data is not really hard.
Well, there you go. See, there's a solution that if they took the internet down, we could fire it back up with some old junk, you know. All I'm saying...
As a matter of fact, the first data was actually... The first digital communication was actually CW. Code.
Well, look at Morse code. Look at Morse code. Even as simple as the Morse code sounds, it's still data, dots and dashes.
That even in the handbook, it's classified as data.
Yep.
It's digital.
And how does the basic principle of it work?
You know, basically, you send it
amplified through a bottle.
It's on, it's off. It's the same thing. Yeah, you could increase the vacuum on that bottle if you had a long piece of PVC at the end of that bottle, and you put water, you filled the bottle up, or you basically filled it all up except for enough air to fill the bottle. And the higher that water is, and you turn the bottom of that PVC into a pool of water, basically that height that you got that bottle will increase that vacuum. Matter of fact, you can only go so far sucking water up from a well. After that, it starts turning to vapor, and you have to re-put another pump. So yeah, you can impact vacuum with the gravity and water, like Justin said.
Well, you know what? If all heck broke loose, I'd love to have the Mad Science and the Knights of the Round Table crew in my neighborhood, because I think together we would be just fine. We would know how to. We would know how to forage, cook, hunt, whatever. You know, we'd have all the electrical skills and technology we need. We could build our own generators out of junk or whatever. You know, pick through the trash of the apocalypse, and we'd do all right if we were all together. That would be the key.
You know? That reminds me, Justin. What's the name of that monopolar generator? Is that the name of it?
Well, there's various types. Homopolar generator,
that's it. You need to check that out, she says. You
remember
those cheap.
You remember the video that you did with just a simple LED and a capacitor, she says?
Yeah.
Well, what would happen if I had a 3-foot vacuum tube and then that hooked up to a Leyden jar?
That sounds like a fluorescent tube.
If you take a bottle and you vacuum it out and you create a simple cathode and anode, which is an LED, when you do it on a larger scale, is it not still going to fill up the Leyden jar, but on a much larger scale?
Well, I would love to pick your brain on that some. Did you see the video that I did where I was charging the capacitor with the fluorescent bulb?
Yes.
Yeah, so... You know, with that said, I was not only getting light out of it, but I was also charging the capacitor as well. You know, there's something to be said there. You know, and in my entire deal on my on my YouTube channel, never tried to even look for overunity or zero point. I only pointed out the mere fact that energy is free because it's all the way all around you, and if you used it right, if you was in harmony with nature and just used that process to do work for you, you'd get the same results. You just wouldn't have to trash anything to do it, or wouldn't have to work so hard to get it. You see what I'm trying to say here? I'm talking about free energy. I'm not talking about over unity or zero point. And whenever you talk about free energy, like I said earlier in the show, there's a guy out there that did a video, and he's cussing up and down a storm talking about how people who believe in free energy is stupid, you know? And I want to just reach out there and grab him by the ears and say, when's the last time you got a bill from the sun, brother? You know?
I just say stupid people have electricity when they don't.
Yeah, that's what... during the apocalypse, come over to Shazooza's house. It'll be the one with the lights on.
We'll have crazy electricity.
Yeah.
I'd like to say something about free energy or energy. It's pressure. Everything's pressure. So if you're trying to send something through pressure, then you have to have bottled up pressure behind it. If you have vacuumed, then the pressure is going to want to go to the vacuum.
Well, see, and there's
a, just have a vacuum. The other is
what you're trying to explain.
If you look at the natural medium,
pressure.
If you look at the natural medium and you shoot off a firework, you see, and then you hear. You see the expansion, and then the collapsation takes place because the natural media goes back to its natural harmony. I've been asking for the last 3 months for anybody to give me the definition for a particle. And nobody can, and I have the definition, and it's only logical.
Particle can actually be, you're looking at parts of an atom and all that stuff. When you're talking about an atom, a particle is part of that atom. But basically, usually, a particle is classified as several molecules clumped together. That's a particle, particulate matter.
Well, either way, when those particles are slamming into each other, they're releasing energy. And so using that and the vacuum and everything that we know about how electricity works, I mean, we're all saying it, but we're just saying it in a different way. Yeah, you let nature do what nature does, and you grab that energy on the way by. When you're talking about pressure and back EMF and all that kind of stuff, that's why I keep talking about how I only care about high voltage, is because you can pull high voltage out of the sky. And all you got to do is charge up capacitor banks. There's your punch right there. You grab a hold of a capacitor, an 800 microfarad capacitor, will blow your thumb right off your hand, literally. And so there's a lot of power potential, and it all came from a different form of energy, a different form of electricity. You know, electricity is electricity no matter how you look at it. Whether you're keying up on your CB radio, sending a signal to somebody else, or you're talking on your computer through a piezoelectric speaker and it's sending a vibrational frequency down and through the circuitry, which eventually bounces off repeaters and goes through wires and everything, it's still electricity. Everything out there around you, all the waves, acoustic waves,
everything. You're taking a shower and your windows, you're taking a hot shower and the windows open and it's cold outside, you're getting thermalicity taking place there and you don't even know it. There's electricity. All of this is what I'm trying to say. It's just pressure taking effect in different mediums.
Yeah, and all we're doing is not trying to break any laws of physics, is redefining the way that we use this energy as opposed to the inefficient way that we do it now.
Well, that's right. You look at mathematical laws, they're all based on the same thing, from biological to electrical to mechanical. They're all based on three things: adding, dividing, and multiplying. You take Faraday's law and Lenz's law, it's the same thing, but Lenz come in later on to Faraday's law, and he put a minus subtraction in front of it.
Yep.
How is that? How is that one man makes a law, and then another man comes in and says, okay, no, this is how it is? All the laws that were...
Howdy,
y'all. Are they just
money?
All I'm saying, guys, look, we're down to the wire. It's time to go around the table and let everybody have their say, but look, you know... the world out there is a mess. Didn't get that way overnight. Ain't going to be fixed overnight. But you heard on this show and now and many other nights of the round table all kinds of ideas and solutions. Instead of turning a blind eye to the possibilities, step outside the box and look at the world, and you will see something different than what you were told. And so if you're a critical thinker that thinks for yourself, you know the world's messed up. You don't want to go down the rabbit hole and allow that matrix to suck you in and eat you alive. And together, we can accomplish a lot of stuff, but separate, you know, we're just spinning our wheels in the mud. So with that said, I want to go around the table and give you guys a chance before it's over to say something. So, you know, who wants to go first? sound like Muddy wants to go first.
Nah. You have crazy. They call you crazy for believing in free energy. Like I said, man, you'll be having crazy electricity, and Yeah, they'll come over your house to get warm. But, no, free energy is easy. I forget it was Nike or Converse, and one of them said, just do it.
Yeah,
carve a prop. Go look at my videos. Carve a prop out of a doggone piece of 2x4 that you find laying around, as long as it ain't cracked up. Or basically, go to the store and spend $2.76 and carve you a prop. If you got a hacksaw and a chisel, basically you've got it. You got a doggone rasp file. That's the tools you need. When things go crazy and the money dies, the thing that's going to be of value is your skill. And if you have electricity when they're shutting it off, I'm sure you'll be well fed. So you can take just about any motor, some induction motors if you can throw some magnets in it, or if you can throw some extra capacitors. Get on the web, learn how to turn a regular motor into an alternator. Put a prop on that bad boy.
Yep.
And the bigger the prop, the slower it's going to turn. Basically, what you have to figure out is how many volts you get per how many RPMs it takes to make one volt. And you can figure out your prop. If it's too big, then your voltage will be too low, but you'll have a lot of power. Go to a smaller prop and match it up. That's about it. Learn how to make graphene with a Fresnel lens off the front of a television set in a what they call a pipe nipple. It's a short piece of pipe threaded on both ends, two caps. You put some material in there, some plant material, and set it in that Fresnel lens for hours. And you can make you some graphene. You can get that static electricity off the air to power things and charge it up. You can learn how to make earth batteries. You can get magnesium by putting some Epsom salt, put it in some water in two jars, stick you a piece of paper across there, two electrodes in it. One side's going to collect the magnesium, the other side's going to collect the sulfuric acid. And you'll know which one because that's the one where the wire keeps getting heat and you have to keep stripping it and sticking it back in there some more.
All right, we're down to 2 minutes,
just
buddy.
Just do it. You can't mess up. Just do it. Enough said.
All right, thanks, buddy. That's great stuff. What about you, Barry?
I don't know. You know, as always, it's a pleasure sitting and listening to all these great ideas. When it comes to this kind of stuff, I'm kind of, you know, way behind you guys. But, all being said, you know what? We all gotta look in the mirror every day, guys. You know, we know all this crap's going on in the earth. We gotta look at our children someday and say, hey, you know, we knew about this. We did what we can. We did what we could. Or we're gonna look at them and say, we knew about it. We did nothing.
Yeah.
I want to be one of the people that say I did everything I can. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Me too, brother, and thank you. And Muddy will catch you up when he gets to your shack.
I'm looking forward to meeting Muddy, and we're going to be walking the woods and doing lots of talking and lots of fellowship together. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, your turn, Justin. We're down to the wire.
Simple. A particle is anything above or below equal harmony.
Cool. All right, guys, gals, thanks for listening to the Knights of the Round Table and play us up out of here with our theme song. So I hope you learned something from today's episode, and the podcast will be up as short as possible. And, you know, like I said, sometimes I get to the point where I just ready to give up because it just seems like such an overwhelming task. But these guys, wonderful people, they remind me of what it is and why it is that we do what we do. We're trying to build a better world for our children and your children and the children of the future, to steer humanity into a different direction other than what we've seen so far. So with that said, I'll say peace and love, and thanks again to all the Knights of the Round Table. Take care.
Woman, man. Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible, and the knights of the round table.